Turn to this morning to the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. It's happened to think recently, and then again this morning, it seems. If I put myself out into the congregation, it seemed like some of the things that I cover, it's not needful that people follow along in their Bible, but it helps with the, I guess, how I present it. Maybe that's a bad thing. I don't know. But this morning's kind of, I feel the same way in what's on my mind. I pray that the Lord put it there. I feel like it's edifying. It would be edifying if the Lord blesses it to you all and an encouragement. But this is in Luke, the first chapter. I will go ahead and go to the 30th verse. And, of course, you all know this scene well. when the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Let me read the 30th verse, kind of pulling that out, and then we'll cover this more thoroughly. That says, Luke says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Now I'll cover the scene here, and put you in remembrance of something that you're already aware of. But my text really this morning in this within this 30th verse is I'm going to pull out some words here and then I will prove that that is true. You know, if you just pull out a verse or some words somewhere and you spout it out to prove something, it doesn't always prove that. You go back and see the context and something. Well, that's not what that is applied to. That's the wrong application and all. But I'll prove this. Let me pull this out. I'll read this. This is my message to you all today. Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. Mary, I know, was in there. That's what Gabriel's saying to her. But I'm telling you today to fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. And that's grace. That word favor there is grace. It's unmerited favor is what that is. You found that as well. That's been bestowed on us as well. And so fear not. If we're fearing for anything, fearing of anything, then he's saying fear not. Thou hast found favor with God. Now, as we set this up, let's jump to the 26th verse, just above there. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. There's that word favor again. Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed art thou among women. Now, I want to kind of as a side note here, you notice that some, if you're following along, some of this 28th verse is in italics. That was not in the original Greek, the inspired word, but I'll tell you what, the translators were blessed by God to translate into the English here. And so there's that word, what I want to bring up, Gabriel says to Mary, the Lord is with thee. Now, that word is was put in here by the translators, and that's why the Lord was with Mary. That's a true statement. But if you remove that, it says the Lord with thee. He was with her. Also, we could look at this, and if we put the word be in there instead of is, The Lord be with you. This angel had come here to Mary to reassure her that she was highly favored by God. And in this, that she was being called to do here, this virgin Mary, who was blessed, and blessed art thou among women. So let me continue, get on with my subject. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. I would be too. I've never seen. If I've seen an angel, I don't have any recollection of it. But I can understand Mary's reaction. Her trouble at his saying, and cast in her mind. So she cast in her mind. I do that all the time. How much stuff have I cast in my mind to throw something, you know, that comes out of nowhere? Now, sometimes Satan will cast something in my mind, she cast something in her mind. Cast in her mind, this is what it was. What manner of salutation this should be? She didn't understand. Perfectly reasonable here. Easy to understand. And now we get to the 30th verse. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. So the angel knew, okay, she's having a little trouble here with this. Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. So we have this word favor, unmerited favor, grace. But if we go back up here to, I tell you what, if I had, and where I started in my mind, when I began to think about this subject and to then meditate upon it and study it, is actually in the 28th verse. And it's if I had a term for my sermon today, it's highly favored. Highly favored. Now that, of course, the root to that is the word favor down there, and then there's even a root from that to that word that I'll explain briefly later. Gabriel says to Mary that thou art highly favored. And I can prove to you that we are highly favored. Now, favored's good, but highly favored. That's a different word based on favored. That makes sense. That's logical as well. I love it when all this stuff lines up. But the Greek word that is beneath this English phrase, or these two words, highly favored, that is used only twice in God's Word. Only twice. So we'll go to that in a moment as I try to keep some flow to this. Let me go to Luke, the second chapter. Second chapter, 40th verse, and then I'll stop here and move to the 52nd verse. Luke 2 and 40 says, the child grew, speaking of Jesus, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. So that word grace there is that same term, favor. That's all throughout God's Word. That word is. The grace of God was upon him. So we have this favor of God upon Jesus. Jesus came to do the will of his Father. I believe it's the next place. Let me go to the 52nd verse. It's the last verse in the second chapter. Get this and bring this small thought to mind. 52nd verse says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So both those entities, with God and man. So he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. Now I can't understand, and maybe someone can explain this to me. Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh here. He increases in wisdom and stature. This God knows everything. Now I know, and maybe it has something to do with Jesus is also the Son of Man here. But what my, and so, yeah, you can explain that to me later. But what I'm concentrating on, obviously, is this part, and in favor. So he increased in favor with God and man. I mean, that's a good thing, and man as well. There were some men he did not increase in favor. Other men did not endue grace and unmerited favor onto him. Not at all. They hollered, "Crucify him," is what they did, and beat him and scourged him and humiliated him. So this is Jesus Christ here. Now I want to bring us into this. We're going to go to Ephesians, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, is the second place that that highly favored term is applied here. It's the second place. The sixth verse says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, of His favor." There's the root again. "Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." So He's made us accepted. That highly favored. God has made us highly favored in the Beloved. So we are. There's my proof text for what I just said. He has made us accepted. Now I know that some believe you have to accept Jesus as your personal Savior to be saved eternally. We know that's not true. Should we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior? I believe so. But you're not going to do that if you're not born of God. You're just not going to do it. That's foolishness. But the English word accepted is certainly within the many words that go together to make up and define the Greek term highly favored. But Mary was highly favored. Well, so are we. We're highly favored in the same way, us and Mary. Mary, I can't imagine what was put on her there to bear the only begotten Son of God Almighty, and then that He had come for a purpose, the purpose of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is why Jesus had come to do His part of that covenant. So here, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. The root again is that word favor. There's another. So favor, if you go to a concordance, there is where this word favor or unmerited favor and grace comes from, is from something else that the root of that, not so much the root, but it supports that word, is rejoicing. It's to be made glad. It's joy. It is a calm happiness. It's to be calmly happy. So that can only be, joy can only be from God. I'm not talking about just simply being happy with something that, well, I just won the lottery. I'm really happy for that. That's not the same thing. But being calmly happy, that supports this term favored, which then supports, it comes from the highly favored, of course, comes from that of which we all were. Now, what should we do? We are now, I've told you, and I hope proven by Scripture, that we are highly favored. What should we do with that? We're given that gift. That has been done to us. Now we use that gift to serve God first. Serve God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We use that to edify the church. And we use that to serve others as well. We've been given this great gift, and now we know, it's been revealed to us, that we are highly favored of God. It is certainly unmerited. That word should be underlined and highlighted. It's unmerited. We didn't do anything for it, but we have that. So now we have these things. We certainly serve God. We serve the church. We edify that. We also edify others around us and serve them. Not just people in the church either. It's others. It's others who are children of God. I often say, you know, how am I supposed to treat people, certainly in the church, and those children of God outside of the church? When I don't bring thoughts myself into my mind and Satan puts something in there, causes me to think evil, then, and I treat someone wrongly, badly, or angrily, then I am doing that, certainly, potentially, to a child of God, someone that Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for. And that's, I know, we all know, that's serious to God. That is serious to God. But yet saying that right now, the words coming from my mouth, I'm thinking to myself, I know I'll do it again. If nowhere else, in traffic. It's a terrible place. It's a terrible place. I usually go there because most everyone, at least who's driving, or maybe those that don't drive, have witnessed someone lose their temper there. But it's just not that. Yeah. Anyway, so those are the things that we should do with this gift. Don't just let it lie there and wither. This being highly favored. What an honor to us that God did this for us and to us, that He endued this favor upon us and this grace. So should be so thankful for that. Now in Luke, the fourth chapter, let me jump back over there for a moment. Luke chapter 4, the 22nd verse, Luke 4:22. And I want to bring out, if I can, how we should be looked upon, and what the things that we do, being highly favored, and Jesus was as well. So the people, I'm not going to go back and set up this scene or anything, but I'm going to just jump right to the 22nd. Verse, he had just read out of Isaiah, of course, Jesus had. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious, there's the word favor again, at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. So the words that proceeded from Jesus' mouth, they were gracious. They were favored, and he endued them there with gracious words, which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" So what he had read and what he'd said here, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. But he said, "This is Joseph's son. That's who he is. That's all he is." Well, they had no idea at that point if they thought that. But they did. They wondered at these, and it says at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Now, the words that proceed out of our mouth should be gracious in the same respect. And I don't know how many weeks ago or months, whenever it was, that I preached and I went to the verse that we should follow, that God has given us an example, which is Jesus Christ. That's who we follow. So let's follow him right here. Let's follow him here. That they wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. Anyone that listens to us, and I'll extend it to sees us, watches us, should be amazed and wonder at the words, the gracious words that come from our mouths. That's a tall order. That is a tall order. Because even if I think I'm saying something that's God-honoring or edifying the church or whatever it may be, unless God blesses that, it's not going to be gracious. I'm not going to show that. But so he certainly has to bless that. But people should marvel at our actions, our lives, and the words that come from our mouth. Now, I'll spend at least, 10 minutes after this, being worried, what am I about to say? Is it that? And all. Don't get bogged down in that. God will bless us to do that. And we're blessed afterward, too, because I've seen the converse of that in either words or actions of mine that have not been this situation. And I don't think anybody would have wondered. They wouldn't have marveled at those actions or words. They'd said, yep, that's him. That's how he is. That's his personality. That's who he is. And I would rather say and do things to where people that see us, that witness, that bear witness like they did Jesus, that they see that I am using the fact that I am highly favored to serve God, honor Him, glorify Him, and edify the church. That's what I... And that, again, that brings us back to what preachers harp on all the time, is that preaching is a miracle. That God causes them to be gracious words, and which should be marveled. Now, in the 6th chapter of Luke, so at least I'm staying here close together, but in the 6th chapter of Luke, let's go, and these are all the words of Jesus Christ here, the 32nd verse of Luke. So the 32nd through the 35th verse all have a form of that word favor in there. But you won't find the word favor or accepted or grace. But for this, so the 32nd verse says, "For if ye love them." Now, this is giving us, I told you that everyone should marvel at our words, at our actions. They should wonder at that bearing witness and so forth. This is Jesus telling us how we can do that. One of who knows how many ways. "For if ye love them which love ye, what thank?" Thank, that's the word favor right there. "What thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." So he's saying, it's not any big deal that you love those that love you. It's so easy to be kind and nice and love those that show you that as well. You all are easy. It's easy for me to love you all because you show that love back. And the care and the concern and the prayers. I know I've bore witness to that. But "for sinners also love those that love them. And if ye," 33rd verse, "and if ye do good to them which do good unto you, what thank have ye?" What favor? What grace? "For sinners also do even the same." It's like, well, this doesn't sound good, bode well so far. "And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive," so if I give somebody something hoping, I'll get something in return for that. I'll get something. "So if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again." And all that's logical. It all makes perfect sense. And my human nature will take over. And even though it's like, no, I don't expect anything in return. And it's not this. I'm not just talking financial, but just showing kindness or giving someone food or whatever it may be. That if you do it expecting something in return. And yet in the back of my mind, many have walked away like, I had that thought, and that comes to me, but God can overrule that. Anyway, so let me continue. So in the 35th verse, But love ye your enemies. In fact, there's four things here. Let me, and these are all so difficult for me. Maybe they're not for you. But love ye your enemies. One, do good. Two, lend. Three, hoping for nothing again. So there's four things here that we're to do. So he kind of reviews what the three verses, or the couple of verses before. Yeah, three verses. And your reward shall be great. So after reading the first part of that, then I read that phrase. Like, okay, now he's got my attention. There's a reward. So I'll listen to it now. I should have before without that in there. And ye shall be the children of the highest. That does not mean that you do these things here and I'll become a child of God now. I'll retroactively have him choose me or something. No, it's not. It's like you manifest the fact that you are a child of God. I won't say if I don't do these things. I'll say when I don't do these things listed, when I do the things here if I don't do those, that does not take me out of the family of God. That's secure in Christ Jesus. But I'm to manifest that I am a child of God. And I've talked about that before, as every other preacher, I guess, on the planet. I'll finish this sentence. For he is kind, God is kind unto the unthankful. And to the evil, so I'll go into that. Unthankful is the negative of that favor. It's negative of that. So again, he's our example. God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. I don't know if that's in me. If I do that, I almost expect something in return to the evil, to my enemies. I don't believe, list any enemies that I have. They're bound to be out there, but I can't list them. That would be a hard thing. Now, our love ebbs and flows. The level of our love for someone. I think last time Brother Mark was here, it seemed like he brought up that thought in some respect. Thanks be to God that his does not. It's the same. If I don't do these things as I'm exhorting you to do, if I don't do those, God's not going to love me any less. He's already chosen me, predestinated me. I will be glorified. One of the songs we sang, I'll be glorified. So that's done. But to honor him, to endue favor upon him, and then let me read one more sentence here and then move on. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father is also merciful. Our example. That's how we're supposed to do. I don't want to, but even though many around me are so merciful and gracious and endue favor and grace on others, I should not follow their example so much, even though they're doing what God has said to do, but follow Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Be ye perfect, says. Can't do that, but we try to attain. That's the mark that we're heading toward. Now I'm going to go to the Gospel of John, the first chapter of John. John, first chapter, around the 14th verse. And that's, of course, the word favor is here again, grace. Many times, in fact, in these few verses, but 14th verse says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then parenthetically it says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Let's real quickly, I'm going to refer to. You don't have to turn there, but so let me read that again. Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. To behold, to perceive his glory, and to behold that. When a verse starts out with, and there, and somebody is saying in the Old Testament, behold, that means just stop and look and perceive this. Really look at it. See it. So the word behold and beheld certainly is important. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, the glory of Jesus Christ. Now, Wednesday night, a couple of verses that we talked about, Wednesday night, those that were here Wednesday night, one of the verses was, again, you don't have to turn here if you don't, 14th verse of the second of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, the obtaining, acquiring of that. I think of the verse, lay hold. It tells us to lay hold on eternal life. Just take that and hang on to it. Well, here, I believe that goes hand in hand with this, the part of this sentence here in the 14th verse of the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Because Jesus, full of grace. We already knew that. I read the scripture in Luke that said he is full of grace, of favor. Jesus Christ is. So this is about Jesus. Now, what about us? The 16th verse, let me jump to that. And of his fullness have all we received. We have received of his fullness, and grace for grace, favor for favor, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We have been made accepted in the beloved. We have been made highly favored. We have partaken of his glory and of his fullness, of the fullness of Jesus Christ and God Almighty. We have laid hold upon that in our lives. Then we are to do something with that. And I, when God blesses me to be fed under the sound of the gospel, whether it be some other minister, someone who's exercising, or even miraculously myself then, and I'm lifted up in that, I'm ready to go out and do something for with that and all. So the gospel is tied to that, and then we behold his glory even more. When we hear that, like the story that Sister Melba was telling us before church about this man who had terrible burns. And the doctor went in, came out, and he asked the family there. Hopefully, I'll get this correct enough that it's goes along with what Sister Melba said. And he said, "What are y'all giving him? What are y'all doing? He should be marred for the rest of his life." And something has happened here. He was shocked. He marveled. This man marveled at that. And the only thing that they could attribute that to was the prayers they had asked for. Prayers. Now, in my life, I think, well, yeah, I've seen that certainly in the last month. I've seen the result of that. And that's enough for me. That should be enough. But when we see things like that, then behold the glory of God. We should glorify God in that because he strengthens us. There's some more of the fullness of God that he's bestowed upon us that we should take and then do those, not only those four things that I read over there, but so much more in whatever God has called us to do. I'll mention this. One's Sunday back in December, as we announced here, some of us went and sang songs about the birth of Jesus at two different places, and I was just about to fall out at the first place, so I went home. Kathy and Karen went on to the next one, and they're near our house. But so they were singing these songs, and there were these elderly people. They were in retirement homes and rehab centers, so forth. The one over by us that they went to secondly that I didn't go to help them sing, has a memory care and so forth. Anyway, beside the point. But people would join in singing, and Kathy noticed, said they were, the last song that they sang was Silent Night. So she noticed an elderly man sitting, can't remember if he's in a wheelchair or not, he was, and sitting over there, and his head was down. And he was, so she went over to talk with him, and he was a veteran of some sort. And tears were coming down his eyes. So those people, not including me, that went to sing to these people, that touched their hearts. Does. The first place we went, I'm sure it did as well. It's not always evident. But that does not prevent us from doing that. Maybe we, on Wednesday nights or some Sundays, we should go and just sing some of the songs of Zion to these people. This man sitting there crying at the song of Silent Night, he needed that at that time. No matter where we are, how lonely we are, depressed, downtrodden, God finds us. And he gives us what we need. He gave that man what he needed. God bless him. So fear not, for thou hast found favor in God's sight, and he has made us highly favored. We're to do something with that. And I said something about you will receive a reward. We will. Maybe it's just small thing. I see great rewards in everything we get from God, all the good. I see that as just icing on the cake, that he blesses us with good things. When I pray to God that he forgive me of my sins, prior to that, I thank him for blessing me with all with which he's blessed me, and to please continue that blessing and bless me to be stronger, to withstand the things that might draw me away. Because it's not just about me. It is about, certainly about the church. It is about others. It's how we care for each other. I believe it was Thursday. I ran into running errands and stuff, ran into two people. We had conversations, and they helped me. They in their words, I marveled at that. I wondered as I bear them witness. So we have an effect, but I tell you what, let's use our position, that calling and gift of being highly favored to serve God. We will be blessed in that. God has said so. Even though there is part of my prayers every day that I have to fight not to think, God's not going to do this. Well, then why am I even praying for it? He can. He has an ability. If it be his will, if it's not his will be done and it will be solved in his way, not mine. May God bless and keep you. We'll close the service. We'll sing a song now.